Blog Talk Radio.
Howdy, welcome to Homemade Business 101. My name is Isaiah. I have the pleasure of introducing the host. You know him. He's everybody's hero, my best friend. Will you please join me in welcoming my granddaddy, Baba Jahi?
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. And thank you so much, Isaiah, always for that one introduction. I'm introducing my show here on Blog Talk Radio, Home Based Business 101. You're such a wonderful grandson. And it's glad, I'm glad to have you as a business partner. Hey, people, well, you know, first of all, I want to thank all of you tuning in, my YTB colleagues, my network marketing friends from various businesses such as Amway and Mary Kay and Five Links. And, you know, because, you know, all of us have home-based businesses. And, I can't leave out my friends from Vitamark. And, you know, some of you, I helped you with your taxes last year. Again, I'm Bob Jahi, and I'm a travel agent with YTB. I'm also a marketing rep with YTB, and I'm also a licensed tax professional. Yes, licensed tax professional. That means that I pay my fees to the IRS to be licensed by the IRS to be able to do people's income taxes. That's really all a licensed tax professional is. Now, some people will try to razzle-dazzle you with them being a CPA and, you know, and other titles, and I'm not knocking any of that. That's good. They've earned what they needed to do accounting work and all of that. But the IRS, you know, in order to do taxes, there's some things you have to do with the IRS, regardless whether you're a CPA or just a as I call myself, a wise red person. You have to become licensed with the IRS. You pay a fee, and you get an IRS PIN code number that you put on the bottom of people's taxes that you do. If a person does not have that number, then they are not licensed to do taxes. So that's what it means. You say a licensed tax professional. See, they have to, not only whatever courses they've taken, whatever study they've done, they have to be licensed with the IRS. Other than that, it's illegal for them to do someone's taxes. So, you know, I'm glad, you know, I got that part out of the way so that you can understand what it means to be a licensed tax professional. Okay, what we're talking about today in terms of today's topic for the show is tax tips for larger returns. And as I said, you know, I want to thank a lot of you who've been supporters and listeners who have been able to help with your income tax. And, you know, I just want to make sure as we go into closing out this year that you know, you get your house in order. Also, for those that are listening that are still trying to get some people involved in their business and some of the guests that I also have on this call who I've shared my business opportunity with. Again, it's not too late to sign up and get a home-based business where you can take advantage of at least the last quarter of this tax year, October, November, December, if you sign up before December 31st. Okay, I said in today's show I was going to review some of the things that I went over earlier in the week. And again, basically, home-based business entrepreneurs have many more potential deductions available to them than they taxpayer. And basically, there's two main forms that you will be dealing with. That's your Schedule C and Form 8829, Business Use of Home. And what we did, we started off this week, we talked about advertising because, you know, that's a key piece in your business. You should always be advertising and promoting your business. Yes, word of mouth advertising is good, and, you know, you want to do that. The other piece is one of the things that we're fortunate here in YTB, those that are travel agents, is we pay $49.95 a month to maintain a website. For those YTB colleagues out there, it's so important that you keep your site up. if your site is down on December 31st, then it's kind of hard to be able to prove, not kind of hard, it is hard, to prove to the IRS their main concern, which is your intent to make a profit. You can't make a profit if your website's not up. People can't book travel off your website. Same for other business opportunities. I don't know how some of the other ones work in terms of your particulars for your website. But website is one of the ways of also advertising and maintaining your business. Another form of advertisement, one of the things that I always tell people that I do, is I have an assortment of flyers. I always keep them with me everywhere I go. So that way, everywhere I go, I'm always constantly prospecting, which means everywhere I go in terms of I'm taking care of two things. One is advertising my business, handing out flyers, but also because I'm handing them out in different places, like when I stop in the morning to get my oatmeal from McDonald's. And again, I don't get any advertising from Mickey D's. I use them a lot as examples of things that I talk about. And, you know, when I do that, it's only because just using them as an example, not, you know, promoting McDonald's, but, you know, I do like the maple oatmeal that they have in the morning. And, you know, so when I go to pick that up, as I'm hustling and bustling and moving about, I always give out some flyers and share information with people concerning my business. Another form of advertisement that you can use is what we call, as I share with people, is mobile marketing. And this is a whole new arena. It's been around for some time, but people are finally starting to pick up on it and catch up on it. And basically what it means is you'll have a short code number, such as I do, and my colleagues from YTB. Our short code number is 58203. And for those that are listening, that are guests or other people on the call who want to know how that works, an example is you can take and text my keyword, learn more, LEARNMORE, to 58203. And when you do that, you know, you'll get a text message back, and at the same time, I'll be able to follow up with you on how you can get more information about tax tips, mobile marketing, and several other things that we do in our business. So advertisement is a very key factor in terms of your business. You want to make sure you're always advertising your business, and you need to determine what your advertising budget is and how you go about it. Now, some people that have more money than others for the advertising budget might get a billboard. Hey, great thing. You know, I remember one time driving on 95 South, heading south, and I kept seeing these billboards. Some of you that might have driven 95 South, you know, and you get to certain places, I think I started seeing them as early as Southern Virginia. Don't forget to stop at Pedro, south of the border. You know, Pedro, south of the border, I believe it's at South Carolina. But, you know, you kept seeing these signs, you kept seeing these signs. They spent a lot of advertising money on these different billboards, but it worked because it was this whole curiosity thing riding down 95 as we were heading to Disney World at the time. And so we were riding down 95. Kept seeing any signs. You know, you're getting so many miles before you get to Pedro, south of the border. And, you know, so the billboard sign worked. Eventually, when we got to the area where Pedro's was, we stopped out of curiosity. And, you know, it wasn't a real fabulous place, but the whole thing was is that that billboard worked. It got us to stop at Pedro, south of the border. So their advertisement really, really worked in terms of that billboard. And we didn't spend that much money there. But how many other people did that billboard have that same kind of impact and effect on? So, you know, again, advertisement is a very key factor to your business. Flyers, you can do newspaper ads, you can do radio ads, TV ads, Whatever you spend on advertisement is tax deductible. Okay, the other thing that we went over was automobile expenses, your mileage. Again, you know, we share with people how, especially for those people that are still working regular jobs, how to turn their morning commute into tax deductible mileage. Okay, if you work your business at home in the morning and then you go directly to your W-2 job, that mileage is not tax deductible according to the most IRS ruling. But if you stop somewhere along the way, like, you know, close to your home, even if it's just your P.O. box, that mileage from the P.O. box to your job is then tax deductible. So, you know, as I tell people what you do, and again, I don't get any money from McDonald's, just using them as an example, but if you stop at Mickey D's on the way, get your cup of coffee or something, then from McDonald's to your job, that's business-to-business mileage, and it's tax deductible. If your place is Starbucks or 7-Eleven, wherever it is, or if you just, you know, you stop somewhere, you know, and if you're not into coffee or whatever, you know, hey, getting some bottled water, you know, a bottle of water or something, or picking up a morning newspaper from a newspaper stand. And while you're there, you always want to do is, again, with that advertisement piece, give out a flyer or two. And by doing that, now when you get ready to leave from there to go to your job, now that mileage is not no longer commuter mileage. That is business-to-business mileage, which is totally, totally tax deductible. Now, what does that mean? There's some people I know that commute. I know one particular person, you know, and it was really hard to get them to understand this. They still haven't grasped it. I explained it to them. I even had one of my colleagues that's a tax professional, he does taxes for millionaires, explain it to them, but they just didn't want to believe it. You know, so some people, you know, even though you can tell them the truth, they just don't want to believe it. But they commute over 100 miles a day. What does that mean for them? 100 miles a day commute, and if they have a home-based business, then what that means is every day they got a $50 write-off because the IRS gives you 50 cents per mile. So that's $250 a week. That's $1,000 a month, $12,000 a year they can deduct from their taxes just on their mileage going from their home-based business to their W-2 job. See, that's where this thing really becomes big. So for those of you that commute, especially, you know, some people I know out there in California and Minnesota and other places that I do taxes for, you have a huge commute to your regular job. And that's why I tell you always, you know, make sure that you stop somewhere close from your house when you leave out in the morning, and then from there head to your job so that way you can get that tax write-off. So, you know, your mileage is a very key piece in this equation. One of the other things, say, if you lease a vehicle, well, if you lease a vehicle, you could write the entire lease off plus the expenses, the gas, oil changes, tune-ups, all of that. So let's say you lease a vehicle for $500 a month, that's $6,000 that you get to write off on that vehicle for the year plus all the expenses equated with that vehicle over a 12-month period. So, you know, you got two options here. If you own your vehicle, then you want to take what we call a standard mileage deduction. If you lease a vehicle, then you want to do is you want to take expenses. One of the other pieces that we talked about was, you know, your business use of your home. And this is very, very, very big, and especially for those people that have a mortgage. Because if you have a mortgage, you can write that mortgage off twice. Right. You write it off on your Schedule A, which is an itemized deduction, and then you're able to write it off on Form 8829, Business Use of Home. So it's very important that, you know, again, you get with a home-based business tax professional who understands the home-based business laws. And, again, I'm not going to badmouth any of the traditional tax places that people go to, but some of them give people bad advice. I had a lady last year who I did taxes for, who's a Mary Kay colleague of mine, And, you know, the person, the place she went to, they told her because she didn't earn $500 that she couldn't write off her deduction. So I told her, I challenged her. I said, look, you ask them, because anybody that's ever worked for the government know that there's something that we call the regs. I say, tell them to find the IRS reg on that. There is none. The IRS does not say you have to make a certain amount of money in order to have a tax deduction. The IRS ruling is the following, that you must show intent to make a profit. So if you're spending money on your business, like I told her and shared with her, I said, well, you bought Mary Kay products. You didn't buy them to sit in your closet. You bought them, you intended to sell them. If nobody bought them, that's not your fault. I said, as long as you had intent to sell them, and as long as, I said, you did your house, your makeup parties, and, you know, the things that, you know, those of you that are familiar with Mary Kay know, you know, what people do in that area. And she said, yeah, I did all of that. I said, then it's no problem. I said, now let me tell you what the difference makes. Without writing off her Mary Kay business, she was going to owe $6,000. Once she was able to write her Mary Kay business off, she got back $3,800. That was a $9,800 turnaround. She would have owed six, taking bad advice from someone who did not really understand the tax law, who told her that she had to earn a certain amount of money. Basically, really, you know, I don't like really using this term, but basically they lied to her because they didn't give her the truth. The truth, there's no such thing. And I challenge anyone, search the IRS regulations. There's no ruling that says you have to earn a certain amount of money in order to have a tax deduction for your home-based business. The ruling is you must show intent to make a profit. So in our case, for my YTB colleagues, as long as you keep that website up, you're showing intent to make a profit. Okay, so, you know, the business use of home, and, you know, you also then what you do is you determine how many square feet in your home that you use for business. Again, I gave an example. I gave an example of for last year, for me and my wife, you know, 60% of our home we use for business. And it's basically, you know, and you say, well, how do you do that? Well, you redefine space. See, because, again, your business is in your home. And so once you determine that formula, how much percentage you use, then that allows you to write off, in our case, 60% of the utility bill, 60% of the upkeep, 60% of anything that we did in relationship to our house. Now, how do we come up with 60%? Well, when you would come into our house, the living room area, which people would call traditional living room, that wasn't a living room. That was a presentation room. In that room, we had TV, DVD player, VCR, and space with times where we'd have people over, set up a projector and a blank wall, you know, white, painted white, where we could show presentation. That was a presentation room. When you come into the next room, that was our office where we had two computers, our file cabinets, our library, and everything that we need to do. We sit down behind the computer to take care of business. That was office space for the business, printer, fax machine, all of that stuff was in there. And we go to the next room, which, you know, some people would refer to as a kitchen. Well, that's not a kitchen. It's a snack room because we have people over to our house. For business purposes, we always serve refreshments. Always. You know, always. It was no more than some chips, cookies, and punch. But a lot of times, you know, I like to cook. So sometimes, you know, we do gumbo, chicken wings, whatever. But because people, you know, ate there, and then a bottle of water. Water was bought for our clientele. So, you know, the bottle of water expense. We had two bathrooms, one back in our bedroom in the master bedroom, and then one in our hallway. The one in the hallway was considered a public restroom because when clients come over, they have to use the restroom. For those of you that only have one bathroom, then you can write off percentage use of that bathroom for your clients is over. Because, you know, clients inevitably, you can't tell them, well, you know, hey, you can't use my bathroom. You know, so, you know, you're having expense for that. If you have lawn care service, once you determine that percentage of your home that you use, then, again, you're beautifying your yard and all of that, but you're beautifying your office because your office just so happens to be where you live. And this is Form 8829. And if your tax professional is not filling that form out for you, or even if you rent, you can write off your rent. You don't have to have a mortgage to have business use of home. So if your tax professional is not submitting that form, they're doing you an injustice. That's Form 8829. And you can write that off. One of the other areas that we covered was your meals, bills and entertainment. Again, one of the best ways to write off your meal, especially, you know, if you're entertaining people, and you take people out to lunch, as always, as I said on the other show, is always use your debit card as much as possible. You really should have a debit card strictly for your business. I'm going to tell you why. Because then, at the end of the year, it's much easier to go to your bank statement and pull up all of your transactions than keeping a box full of receipts. Because you're going to have a permanent record on your bank statement. And, you know, one of the people that I do taxes for, you know, who has a jewelry business, unfortunately, you know, she has a home-based jewelry business, and she does everything with her debit card. You know, she buys the wires, the beads, and the different cowrie shells and other things that she buys to make earrings and necklaces and all of that. She has all of those expenses listed on her debit card when she goes out to eat, takes brochures with her to promote her business. You know, she uses her debit card to purchase that meal so that, you know, it's all listed there. But if you're not using the debit card, then what you want to do is the following. When you go out, say you stop at, again, you know, I'm using Mickey D's only as an example, you stop there in the morning or in the afternoon to get something for lunch, take that receipt, put it in, keep an envelope in your glove compartment in your car. So this month's envelope would be December. And what you do is all your December receipts, you put in that envelope. And, you know, you put it in that envelope. And then you save that. Then January, you do the same. February, so on and so on. So at the end of the year, you'll have 12 envelopes with all of your receipts in them for each month. That makes it a lot easier for your tax professional to organize your paperwork to do your meal deduction. And remember, as long as you handed out a flyer, talk to somebody about your business, then that meal is tax deductible. Entertainment. So say you go to the football game right now. It's football season. And as long as within a 24-hour period, you you took a friend and you paid for the tickets, you said something to them about your business or gave them a flyer or scheduled them for an appointment or we do YTB, a website walkthrough, a test drive. As long as you did that within a 24-hour period, then that expense is totally tax deductible. Now, here's a real kicker right here. Any expense under $75, the IRS does not require a receipt. Now, I'll be checking to make sure they haven't changed that for 2011. But for 2010, any expense under $75, or as a meal or entertainment, the IRS does not require a receipt. But what you should do is you should have a log for all of the things that you do, especially when it comes to meals and entertainment. You should have a log that says what day, who, where, and why. What day was it? Who did you meet with? Where did y'all meet at? And why? If it was prospecting, if it was closing a deal, whatever the why is. I mean, I had a meeting the other day. It was a recruitment meeting. I shared with a person. They did sign up in the business. And, you know, hey, and I'm happy about that. But I spent $16.11 at a restaurant, you know, getting lunch for us. And, you know, we said we had lunch and we had a business appointment over lunch. Again, this is another great way to market your business. You know, that's what I do all the time. Is that when I meet people for an interview, I have a particular restaurant that I use, and those of us that's in YTB again, you know, we have a great opportunity to use restaurant.com where, you know, you get restaurant certificates for $3 and under for $25 worth of food. You know, I just so happened I met with three people one day and I had my restaurant.com certificate for this particular restaurant. I had got that certificate for $1. So they gave me $25 off of the food. So I was able to wine and dine my prospects. And you'd be surprised how that helps with closing the deal. Ultimately, it cost me because the minimum was you had to spend $40. And, you know, with three people, I was able to basically get them pretty much anything they wanted on the menu. And, you know, only cost me $15 because I got $25 off. Great way to wind it down your prospects. If you have people over your house, what you want to do when you prepare a meal is you should get all of those items and keep them on a separate receipt, or if it's on a mixed receipt with other stuff you bought when you were doing your grocery shopping, you should circle the items. But usually, normally, what I do, rule of thumb, is if I'm having people over for a business piece, then what I do is I buy those items separate. Even if I'm getting my other groceries, I put one in one cart, the other in the other cart. So that way, when you do have people over, and you have them over for business purposes, that whole meal is tax deductible. You can write all of that off. Okay, and the other piece that we covered was travel expenses. Now, you know, travel expenses, these are key, especially for those of us that's in the travel business. Not only do we get off write off expenses of the trip, you know, because we're travel agents, and so we get to do even a lot more with that. But let me give you an example for everybody can use. Okay, the way the law is written, it's actually quite easy to turn a vacation into a business trip. It only takes a little bit of strategizing at the time. When planning your trip, make sure you spend more than 50% of the total number of days, 4 hours or more, constitutes a business day. At least spend 50% of that time doing business. Let's say you begin your trip in Florida on Wednesday to return the following Thursday. But Wednesday counts as a business travel day. Then on Thursday, you do some prospecting and go to a meeting that night. Again, totaling more than 4 hours. That's a second business day. You spend Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday having fun with the family. The following Wednesday is spent on business, and Thursday, you travel home, which is your third and fourth business day. Because you did business in the same city on weeks that sandwiched in a weekend, you also count Saturday and Sunday as business days. That gives you 6 business days out of 9. You only need 5. And so the whole trip is now tax deductible. Also, if your spouse and your children help you with your business or employees in your business, then their expenses may be tax deductible as well. Again, get with, you know, a home-based business life tax professional to help you understand how to take advantage of these particular deductions. Okay. This has been Bob Jahi here on Home Based Business 101 this morning, and you know, going over again tax tips for larger returns. Tax tips for larger returns, and I really hope that you know you got something out of this. For those that listen to this from off my Facebook page, if you have questions, you can inbox me. For those that are listening off of Blog Talk Radio's regular Blog Talk Radio page. Use the Z-Mobile short code that we have. Text to 58203. Text the word learn more. And we'll be able to get back with you and help you learn more. And again, for those that are guests that I had on here who are still, you know, on the borderline about wanting to get that home-based business started, remember right now in our company, for $199, you can get started right now. Right now. And you'll have the ability to write off the last quarter, which is October, November, and December. And if you own a home, and this is another goodie for you, if you own a home and have a mortgage, even though you didn't start your business in December, still be able to write off your mortgage and your real estate tax for the whole year, which means you might end up getting an extra $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 back off a $199 investment. Wow. So if you want to know more, if you want to learn more, text that keyword, learn more, to 58203. And until next time, this has been Baba Jahi here on Home Based Business 101. God bless you. Have a wonderful and prosperous weekend. And thank you for tuning in to Home Based Business 101.